You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's time for the fifth quarter with analysis, game stars, all-access locker room interviews, and more. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Morrow stationary, lets it bounce, doesn't know exactly where it is. He is going to go after it, and Grace got there. Cody Grace, the punter. And I think the Calgary Stampeders will get the football. Morrow looked like he didn't know where the ball was. Here's a shotgun snap for Mayer. He's going to throw over the middle. It's caught by Reggie Bagleton. And that time he found him running the skinny post inside the goal line for the touchdown. The fireworks are going off. Comes to Alford. Takes the kick near side hash at his 20. Angling is right across the 35. Trying to get the edge. He does 40. 45, 50. Oh, past the 50 of Calgary and out of bounds at the Saskatchewan bench. Mario Alford. They're five. He's going to take it. Stutter step outside the tackle. Left side. 30, 35, 40, 45, down the sidelines. He's on the run. 40, 30, 20. He's going to score. Tommy Stevens. Oh, my God. That is gross. On a third and one, he takes it all the way home for a touchdown of 85 yards. Get out of here. Hughes, the kick is on the way, and it slices through and good to the 41st field goal of the year by Brett Lothar. Puts the Riders on the board. Here's Mayer, takes a shotgun snap. The rush off the edge by Hughes, and a sack by the Riders. Their second of the game. Anthony Lanier, the second, is back. Takes the snap, hands it off to Mills. 34, runs over Beaulieu, and runs into the end zone for the touchdown. Hands it off to Mora. Mora puts his foot in the ground, cuts to the end zone. Touchdown, Saskatchewan, J-Mo.
Oh, we got a rabbit on the field.
And Fine's going to take off like a rabbit as the rabbit runs past Fine. Fine outside the 30 and runs out of bounds on the far side, and the rabbit has ran for more yards than the Rough Riders, and he is tearing up the turf on the far side, and he's going all the way up the tunnel. Here's a fake handoff by Tommy Stevens, thrown to the right. It's caught and breaking a tackle, and scoring the touchdown is Jalen Philpott. Speaking of local guys.
Is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Michael Ball back in the up in the broadcast booth. Brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, best in the bidding business, McDougallAuction.com. On the quality tire scoreboard, stamps all over the Rough Riders, routing them tonight 36-10. So the Rough Riders finished this season a miserable 6-12. Man, it's just been so bad, and you're almost tired of talking about it, to be quite honest with you. The Calgary Stampeders finished at 12-6, and with the win, Calgary now, like I said, 12-6, and only Edmonton in 2017 with 12 wins finished third and out on the road to start in the playoffs, which is the second time that has happened. The Stamps making the playoffs for the 17th consecutive season, tied with Winnipeg for the fourth longest in league history. And the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, by losing this game, They missed the playoffs. And really, the last year, 2018, they had a home playoff game that they lost at home to Winnipeg in a semifinal. 2019, they lost the Western final on home turf. And the year before that, or 21, sorry, they also had a home playoff game against Calgary Stampeders and beat the Stamps 33-30 last year in overtime, but they don't make the playoffs here, and they don't make it in a year where they're hosting the Grey Cup. So that's just really pretty ugly, to be quite honest with you. And Rider fans are not too happy. A reminder, you can call into our final call-in show of the year with Daniela Ponticelli, Wes Cates, and a special guest today, because Don Hewitt is on the couch with a back problem. Nick Lewis, the Canadian Football Hall of Famer, who spent a lot of his career right here in Calgary, wrapped it up with the Montreal Alouettes. They'll take your calls after the football game. This portion of the fifth quarter broadcast is brought to you by Sask Lotteries, the Capital Auto Mall, and Borgo Industries. We'll come back with more of the post-game show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Well, back in McMahon Stadium in the broadcast booth, McDougall Auctioneers broadcast booth, the Calgary Stampeders beat the Saskatchewan Roughriders 36-10. And we always have our coach Craig Dickinson join us for the coach's comments. And the coach's comments are brought to you by our good friends there at KFC. Take the game to the next level. Try their famous chicken sandwich, hot and crispy and classic or spicy. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Downstairs, Luke Molitor with Coach Craig Dickinson.
Coach, obviously the end to a really challenging season here for you, but I listened in on what you told the team. You told the guys to continue to enjoy each other's company. You told them you appreciated their year. Just, you know, reflect a little bit on some of the feelings that you have now that, you know, we are done this year.
Yeah, sure. You know, I care about those guys a lot, Luke, and it was a frustrating year for all of us. And just as frustrating for those players as it was for us coaches. You know, we all came into the season with high hopes, with a mission in mind, and with a work ethic that matched that mission, but it just, for some reason or another, didn't happen for us. We'll have to look long and hard at the film and really have to sit down as a staff, as an organization, figure out, all right, where did it go wrong? What can we do in the future to make sure that doesn't happen again? But the message to the guys tonight was, you can see it's very organic. They care about each other. They're hugging each other. They know that this is an end of a tough season, but they're going to enjoy every last minute they have with each other. And I think that's great.
Coach, talk to me about just sort of how, you know, it's tough to just sort of look ahead, right, in a year like this. You know, this is a results-based business, but, you know, what were some of the positives for you as a head coach this year?
Well, what I really liked was just the work ethic of the team. You know, I didn't have to worry about guys rolling in late to meetings. They were very diligent. I mean, they were in there 2 hours before we started, a lot of them. We had great workouts with the guys. You know, the work ethic was there. And so that's one thing I always hang my hat on, is if you do your very best, then there's really no shame in losing, you know. And we understand it's a results-based business. All those guys in there do as well. But I was really just really proud of the way they came to work every day, regardless of winning or losing.
Got to ask you, so, you know, you started Mason Fine today, you know, and you guys were talking about Jake Dolagala a little bit. What was the decision, went into the decision to bring Cody in and not give Dolagala any reps today?
That was an organizational decision. I had a voice in it, but it was something that we all decided in. And when I mean organizational, J.O., myself, all the coaches. And we thought long and hard about Jake, you know, but we also felt like Cody gave us, number one, the best chance in terms of short yardage, because he is our short yardage quarterback. And if Mason got hurt early, we felt like Cody knew the offense a little better and gave us our best chance of winning. So it was a coin toss. We opted to go with Cody, and that's why.
When you look at the things that you guys can control in this year, right, what was the one thing that you think that you might have done a little bit differently? Or was there anything?
Well, we got to figure out a way to play with less penalties. You know, that's the one thing I've got to look long and hard at, you know, what we're doing in terms of practice and technique, and we've got to figure out a way to play a little cleaner. But ironically, as our penalties decreased, so did our win total. So it doesn't always correlate, Luke, as you know. But I think that's the one thing that I'm going to work long and hard on this offseason is figure out how can we do a better job of controlling the penalties. And some of them are just young people being dumb and making stupid mistakes like we saw tonight. But some of them are technique, and if we can figure out a way to clean those up, I think it gives us a little better chance.
And these are never easy during wins, but they're really difficult to do, obviously, during losses. I appreciate your candidacy with us and coming out here and getting in front of the mic all year, and best of luck moving forward, Coach.
Thanks, Luke. I appreciate you guys as well. Yep, same to you guys.
All right, thanks, Luke. So Coach Craig Dickinson, I've said this about him, I'll continue to say about him, he's a good coach, even better human, and the most accessible coach in North American professional sports. He has the same demeanor, win or lose, good call, bad call. I've said he could be a Major League Baseball manager, that's how stoic he is. When we come back, we'll have more of the fifth quarter post-game show from McMahon Stadium, where Calgary ends the Rider season in emphatic fashion, 36-10. On the Cooperators, Rough Rider Radio.
.ca.
The Riders play here. Saskatchewan Sports Radio. The Source, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the McDougal Auctioneers broadcast booth, our last fifth quarter show of the season. Didn't think I'd be saying that at the end of the regular season, but it's true. Riders finish 6-12. Calgary, the number one scoring team this season, averaging 30.9 points a game. They last led the CFL in 2016. They've scored at least 25 points in their last eight games, averaging 32.3 points. And tonight, they get 36 against your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. You heard the coach's comments. He's talking like he's going to be back next year. I asked him on the sports cage on Monday. He joined us every Monday all season long. He said he is confident he'll be back. That'll be interesting. I haven't really questioned much coach has done, but I do question bringing Cody Fajardo. Now, whether that's just his decision, Jeremy O'Day's decision, like that, you can't bring Cody Fajardo on this trip. You have to bring Jake Dolagala. Otherwise, you've just said Jake Dolagala isn't in our future. And if he isn't in the future, why was he still on the roster? That's what I don't understand. That's a real head scratcher to me. Does Luke have somebody else down in the room? Okay. Our Game Stars are brought to you by Johnston's Grain for all your grain marketing and crop input needs. Visit johnstonsgrain.com. Hey, this hurt the Rough Riders this year when we didn't have Jamal Morrow for part of the year. When he went down with his hand injury, the Rough Riders had a star in the backfield replacing William Powell. He was the combined yardage leader and the rushing leader when he went down. Luke Mulder, you've got him in the dressing room.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, right? It's been a really good year, and especially for Jamal Morrow, it was since day one of training camp, right? So obviously tough way to end the season this year, but just reflect a little bit about just some of the things that you consider a success personally.
I mean, my goal out there was to come out, you know, and just compete each and every day, game in and game out, and unfortunately, you know, went down halfway through the season, but, you know, my job was to kind of just be supportive, and, you know, honestly, my favorite part, I mean, as unselfish guy was being able to see Frankie and how he was able to produce when I was down, you know. So that was kind of like what the biggest take I've learned, you know, I love the most about, you know, this season. But kind of, you know, just personally, it was just me just going out there, you know, and I had a goal to set. I wanted to be the rushing leader, but, you know, that went down. And so, you know, knowing the fact that I was at the top, you know, when I was injured, that sits a little bit. But, you know, it still leaves a solid taste, you know, knowing that, you know, because you want to be able to be healthy and, you know, contribute to each and every game.
Understanding that, you know, you were a team that wasn't going to make the playoffs here, especially last week, right? Like, have you started thinking about some of the things that you personally want to look at and work on in the offseason?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you always want to do main things, you know, is kind of just working on, you know, speed and acceleration and stuff, you know, holding long speed and, you know, just maybe, you know, getting bigger, you know, and being able to run more physical. physical, you know. So that's kind of, you know, what I've been looking at. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I was really just enjoying the time with, you know, it's the last time, you know, we get to play with this group of guys. So just enjoying, you know, the company. You know, we had great guys on this team. So, you know, just, you know, it sucks, you know, that was, you know, that's, you know, we had bigger goals, you know, bigger expectations this season. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it was just really fun, you know, to play with a great group of guys that still love to go out there and compete each and every day.
Man, I'm really glad you brought that up, man, because not a lot of people see the relationships that you develop in a locker room, regardless of your win-loss total. Talk a little bit about your running back room this year.
Oh, I mean, the running back's been great. I mean, you have guys, you got a vet like James Tuck, you know, Awachi, you know, and Bruno. I mean, those, you know, and Frankie, I mean, all of us, you know, we had Shaq into the mix as well. But it's been great. I mean, you know, Coach Kelly, he's a great coach, and he's able to, you know, we have the jail, you know. And so those are the things, you know, you miss the most. You know, when you go home, you know, you kind of by yourself with the fan, but, you know, you miss the camaraderie that you had, you know, with, you know, the guys, and especially the running back room. You know, we're a very, you know, tight-knit group. We did a lot of things together. And so, I mean, you know, it sucks, you know, to go out like this. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you make bonds, you know, friendships of a lifetime with, you know, with the group of guys we had in that room. So,
hey, man, we really enjoyed watching you run this year. Enough respect, brother.
Yeah.
Good luck this offseason.
All right. Appreciate you.
That's Jamal Morrow downstairs with Luke Mulder. We'll get to our defensive game star in a minute. Yeah, Morrow had a decent football game. He had a touchdown on the ground of 6 yards, finished with 8 carries for 63 yards and that touchdown. And in terms of receiving, he also had a couple of nice catches on some screen routes, 4 grabs for 27 yards. His longest was 22. So almost 100 combined yards for Jamal Morrow. Well, wait a minute. He probably had a combined yardage of about 100 because he also had 41 yards in return. So just over 100 yards for him. Another 8. Yeah, man. 41 yards on kick returns, 8 yards on punt returns on one punt return, 27 yards through the air, 63 on the ground. So Jamal Morrow had a great game. Over 100 yards combined. Just what he did during the year. Swiss Army knife for your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We'll take another break. Rough Riders lose 36-10 to the Calgary Stampeders here at McMahon Stadium. You're listening to the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
The battle is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
All right, let's look at some of your stats here for this football game as we await our defensive game. Star Mason Fine, 21 to 32, 168 yards passing. He had no touchdowns and no interceptions. I told you about Jamal Morrow, 8 carries for 63 yards. Mason Fine, 2 for 17. The leading rusher in the game, though, was the Rabbit. He took off from one end of the field to the other when Mason Fine was running for a first down, ran all the way up the ramp and out the stadium on the other side. It was a pretty funny lighthearted moment in this game for the fans here. They were cheering. Got one of the biggest cheers of the night. Shaq Evans, maybe in his final game as a Rough Rider, depending on how things shake down in the front office and the direction of this team. 6 catches, 76 yards. Morrow, I said, 27 yards receiving. Mitch Picton, 3 grabs, 25 yards. Kean Schaefer-Baker at 5 for 25. He comes up 40 yards short of 1,000 yards, 960 yards. He did have a long pass that he caught, but, of course, he got called for pass interference. Jester Wea playing in his first professional game, 2 catches for 9 yards, first professional CFL game. Braden Lennius had 1 for 6. He did have a deep pass down the left sidelines called back because of a Cooper Richardson pass interference. Brett Lothar nailed his only field goal attempt from 33 yards away. Mario Alford, kick returns, 3 for 93, a 31-yard average. He had 1 punt return for 6 yards. Defensively, Roland Milligan, 6 defensive tackles. Darnell Sankey at 5, which gives him 120 on the season. A new Rider single-season record surpassing Dave Albright, who had 118 back in 1987. Jaden Dahlke had 5 tackles, 4 of the solo variety. By the way, back to Sankey for a second. He also had a forced fumble in the football game. So that guy was a menace, and they better try to sign him as best they can. Blaze Brown, 4 defensive tackles. Larry Dean, 4. Larry finishes with 101. And Larry Dean and Darnell Sankey, the first combo to have over 100 tackles in a season since the BC Lions did it in 2016. It's the only other time it's been done where teammates have had over 100 tackles in a single year. Solomon Elamimian had over 120. He had 129. Adam Big Hill had 109. So there you go. Good job by Larry Dean and Darnell Sankey. Derek Moncrief did not play in this football game. He was the other guy that was great in the linebacking corps. Okay, so let us head down right now for our defensive game star. And for that, I have picked Jaden Dahlke, who is the former U of A Golden Bear. And Jaden Dahlke had quite a contingent everywhere this team played on the road, home and road. His mom and dad and the Dahlke contingent would come except for Hamilton. I think they had about 70 people outside for a tailgate. Luke, down to you.
Yeah, man, so the main question here, Jaden, is how many, what was the final total of the family tailgate here?
My mom ordered all the tickets, and it was 72 friends and family.
Now, is that coming out of your pocket?
No. They all pay for their own.
They
got a discount thanks to the concierge/ticket people at Riders or Stampeders. They made it really easy for to coordinate everything, so it was great.
Really enjoyed watching you play this year, man. You're a guy that, you know, when you got your opportunity, you're out there making plays. Talk a little bit about how you actually get yourself to the position to be prepared as a backup to come in and make an impact.
Well, I think it speaks to the starters in front of me and their ability to share their knowledge and prepare me in case I do get called upon to be ready and to step up and take the reps.
Mm-hmm. Talk about, obviously, frustrating way to end the year, but for yourself personally, did you attain some of the things that you wanted to do as the season went on?
This was a crazy rookie year for me, being able to play basically two of my U Sports seasons in one season was a big accomplishment in my eyes, and then just being able to get on, get the opportunities on specials, and then also defense, like you mentioned, was more than I could ask for my rookie season.
Obviously, you've had a chance now to consider, what it looks like in 2023. What are the things that you want to work on personally with when it comes to your game?
Overall, explosiveness. I'll definitely keep on working on that. That's something that I continue to work with. I think physicality-wise, I'm there, and I know I'm there now. And then just getting in and putting in the time and the effort in the film room with coaches and whatnot to be more prepared and see if I'm called upon again.
Dude, what's it mean to you to have 70 of your family members come out? Because your family's really been supportive this year. We've seen them all throughout the season.
Yeah, it means the world to me. They've been my biggest support throughout my whole career, and they're my why, man. So for them to keep showing that type of support, even with the season, it didn't matter to them. It was unwavering. So it's easy to keep your head up and keep playing when you know that you're playing for them.
Yeah, well, you are a bright spot this year, man. Enough respect. Stay healthy in the offseason.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Luke. Hey, before I let you go, Luke, are you still there? Luke?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I let you go, I'm going to let you give us some final thoughts from yourself before you take off with the team.
Final thoughts. I mean, I don't think you need to bury this team any more than is going to be said about them here in the weeks to come. Probably a really just frustrating time. One of the things that guys got to understand is that, locker room cleanout day is literally the worst day of the year, right? But only one team really enjoys locker room cleanout, and it's the team that wins it all at the end of the year, right? And I think that, the guys that do come back here in return, I think that the goal needs to be the championship, right? It just didn't feel like that was the goal this year. The goal might have been, coming out and competing to win a game. But, the more you focus on the overall championship, I think the better off you'll situate yourself with as a group. But again, I'm trying to be as positive as I can.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that, just continually dumping on them, there's going to be plenty of time to do that. We'll address the things that we think, during the week. But again, probably the most disappointing season since I've been involved in the organization in 2004, considering, you know, what the opportunity actually was here. But, you know, a lot of, you know, these guys just got to enjoy sort of the last few hours here as a team, because, you know, it's going to look massively, massively different, I think, next year. And, man, I'm already excited about seeing what changes start to transpire here in the offseason.
Keith, so I got to ask you one question. If something does happen, Luke,
yeah,
how fast do you think it happens in terms of front office coaching, all that type of thing?
Well, I mean, depending on what happens, right? I mean, is there a guy right now, the guy that you want, is his team competing right now, or is he out there, you know, as a free agent, essentially, right? Like, you know, for instance, an Ed Hervey, right? Yeah. Or somebody, right? And I'm not saying it's Ed Hervey, but yeah. I'm saying, you know, but if the guy that you have, you sort of, you're circled as your guy, and they're competing, I mean, you can't make a ton of changes, because you got to see which guys are going to be available as the playoffs continue to roll out, right? So,
yeah.
But if I'm a decision maker, and I think that it's going to be really a really good opportunity for the Rider board to show what type of teeth they have, I think. There's definitely not going to be an easy decision to be made, but this new organization needs to assess itself, you know, from the top down. And the reason I say that is because this isn't just a tough year this year. There doesn't look to be a ton of pieces that you would want to move forward for next year. So when you look at sort of the overall, you know, and get your impressions of the overall, you know, opportunity to move forward as a team in 2023, like, what pieces are you really going to jump all over, right? So, again, like, if you're going to reset, because there's no championship teams rebuild.
Yeah.
Right? This is not a rebuild. This is a reset. You got to reset. If you're going to reset, like, you're going to have to take an honest look about how many people, or, you know, who the people are that you're going to move forward with. Because right now, this isn't one of those deals where it's like, oh, yeah, you know what, this team's set up for success, sustainable success. And, you know, you got to remember, you know, when Craig Reynolds made those original changes back with Taman and Chamberlain, right, that was the goal, sustained success. And now here you are a few years later, and you're not anywhere close to setting that up. And more importantly, and I said this last week, hey, this is the team that you wanted in the offseason, right? You're on record saying, hey, these are the guys that we want in the locker room. This is, so, I mean, I think the writing's on the wall. There's going to be change. It's going to be between the, you know, on the sidelines and between the field, on the field, right?
So. Yeah. Hey, Luke, thanks for your time, man. It's been a great first year, you and me.
Oh, man, you killed it this year, brother, man. And I know you got a ton of IKEA there. Hopefully it's not too uncomfortable of a drive on the way home.
We're driving IKEA home, I know. At least I'm not. I told her, you can buy as much IKEA as you want. I ain't setting it up. I'm not doing that.
No.
The IKEA is specifically designed, I think, to make men mad and look dumb at the same time.
Oh, you know what it is. You're the one who designs the IKEA furniture. The guys who got bullied in high school, you know? So they're the guys who are really good at math, and they said, oh, you know what? Now's my opportunity to design some stuff that just stresses out all the guys that are going to have to put the stuff together.
Yeah, okay. All right, man. Thank you very much for your time. Have a safe trip home, okay? We'll talk to you this week. We have lots to dissect. The soap opera's just beginning.
Oh, man. Dude, this was literally act one. It's about to be crazy around here.
All right. Take care, my friend. Right. Thank you. We'll have more of the post-game show in a moment on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The Fifth Quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
So just to review, our game stars are Jamal Morrow and also Jaden Dahlke. Write down those game stars, and when Daniela Ponticelli calls for it on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable, and if she chooses you, special blend by Weiser's gift pack. But I've listened to the post-game shows, and I love them. But you guys kind of bully Daniela around. You call, and you tell her you're going to be the... I've got the game stars. She has to, as the guy who's been doing this the longest, she tells you when she's calling for it, okay? You don't call in and tell her. She tells you. So, Daniela, if you're listening, you tell them. You're in charge. She'll say, now it's time for the game stars, okay? That's it. laid the law down the last broadcast of the year. By the way, you want to know why the Saskatchewan Rough Riders really stunk the joint out this year? There are two telling sides. First of all, one of them lower rung down the line was Anthony Lanier II went out, really hurt the interior of the defense, and they got rid of Garrett Marino. So those two guys weren't there for a stretch and really exposed the back end. But penalties have been a problem for this football team. It doesn't matter who suits up. The Rough Riders had 10 penalties for 104 yards. Calgary 3 for 45. So that's why the Riders aren't going to the playoffs. Also, how about this? The Riders gave up 6 more sacks today to give them 78 on the year. That's the most sacks given up since the BC Lions did it in 1993 at 74. So if the Rough Riders are going to have, they could have Nick Lewis, Wes Cates, Joe Montana, Bo Levi Mitchell, pick a name at quarterback. They will not do any better than the guys we have here when they're staring at the sky or the ceiling or the lights. They have to do a better job of protecting the quarterback and getting to the other team's quarterback. So beef up on the lines. That's what they're going to have to do. We'll be back to wrap up here from Calgary in a moment on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The Fifth Quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Well, folks, this isn't how I thought my first year of doing Rough Rider football would end. It's my 20th year covering this football team and easily one of the most disappointing. But also, I had a great time in the broadcast booth and had a lot of wonderful experiences. Got to go to the East Coast for the first time in my life. Been to every CFL stadium except for Ottawa, so that's something I can look forward to next year. And it was a great time working with Luke Molitor in the broadcast booth. And hey, for the first time ever, we had a female on our broadcast as a regular, Daniela Ponticelli, who did a great job in the pre- and the post-game show. We've had Wes Cates, who's developed into a nice broadcaster. Don Hewitt, it's always great having the professor. Unfortunately, he threw his back out, so he couldn't be here with us today, but we've added from time to time. Whenever from the bench you can bring in a Hall of Famer like Nick Lewis, you're pretty happy with that. So we want to thank all of those guys for being and gals for being a part of our broadcast as well. Want to thank Sean Kleisinger for his great job behind the scenes at our flagship station 620 CKRM. Without him, our broadcast would fall apart. Colson Schultz, who comes in too and helps out, thanks to him for doing his great work. Like I said, it was great working with Luke Molitor this year. I've met so many great people on the road, including this guy here, Jerry Pendry, who's been doing the audio tech work in the visiting booth since 1984. I love guys like that because they love the league behind the scenes. We had a great chat before the game, and those guys always point things out to me like, hey, Ballsy, Jamal Morrow had a great game, but not always so good. He misplayed the football and the punter got the ball. I forgot about that, but it's good having a guy like that on the side, even though he cheers for the Calgary Flames. But why wouldn't he? He lives here in Calgary. We've had a lot of great listeners listening too, and I really appreciate their support. Like, for instance, this guy, Robert Anderson, listening, and he's going to listen to the roundtable. He's looking forward to it from England. So thanks to him for listening. Dennis Gore in Buffalo, New York, drove up from Buffalo to watch us in Hamilton. Rider Nation, listen, when I said online the flagship team in the CFL is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, I meant it. It's not in terms of winning, it's Winnipeg right now. These Calgary Stampeders have been to the playoffs 17 years in a row. That's not what I mean. What I mean is Rider Nation, the support from the fans, the people that are mad right now, and they want things to get better so they can be a Winnipeg, and they can be a Calgary, a consistent winner. More so Calgary than Winnipeg. Winnipeg's just been on a nice run for the last couple of years. But you know what I mean. Those people speak with their wallets. They speak with their passion. They speak driving from PA and Calgary even. Ron and Deb drive from Calgary, from Winnipeg, from Brandon, from Weyburn, from Yorkton, all over the place, listening in Utah and truckers in Nebraska, wherever. Rider Nation will come back from this. This year does suck, but I want to throw this one more thing out there. Do not drop the ball on the Grey Cup. Yes, you're mad, but get out and support the Grey Cup. This league, the beauty of this league, sometimes We got one foot on steady ground and one always on the cliff. And it feels like our foot on the cliff is kind of shaking a bit. I hate to be Debbie Downer, but we need to prop up this league and keep it going. And it starts with having a good Grey Cup in the heartland of football. Bring it back to the heartland, Saskatchewan. So make sure you go to the Grey Cup. And I also want to give one more shout out because they've been my biggest fans. My mom and dad, Clinton, Marilyn Ball, both going through some severe health issues. My mom just had her leg amputated recently, and they're listening tonight. So thanks to mom and dad. They used to listen to me call football games in my basement to myself like a loser. And it was great growing up, and I appreciate them for listening all the time and being a big supporter. That'll do it for my time here in Calgary. I want to give a shout out to our affiliates, GX94 Yorkton, 96.3 Cruise FM Saskatoon, 750 Beach Radio Melford, 1050 CJNB North Battleford, 102.3 FM CJNS Meadow Lake, 900 CKBI Prince Albert, and the flagship station for football, Rider Football, is 620 CKRM. And I've been a big Canadian football supporter at all levels. Go watch the Regina Thunder and Saskatoon Hilltops game tomorrow, 1 o'clock Mosaic Stadium, as that's going to be a good one to determine who wins the PFC and host the Canadian Bowl. Good luck to both teams. That'll do it for my time. We'll talk to you next week on the Sports Cage, but a reminder, 936-6262 in town, toll-free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. It's the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable next on the Rough Riders.